Okay, I'm going to go to Philippians. I'm going to read from chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Once again, we have the Word of God before us in this day. What a privilege it is to have and to hold, to be in the comfort of this place so that we can hear the Word and be the better for it. So let's hear God's Word through the Apostle Paul given to the Philippians and by the providence of God given to us. Hear now His precious Word. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. Heavenly Lord, we ask thee to once again bless thy word to us. We are privileged to have it in our Bibles, take it home with us. Meditate, read it, meditate upon it, pray over it and with it, its help. We are thankful to be here at Calvary Church, a church that is in favor with God because your word is uppermost. It's what we're all about. It's what is most precious here at this place. And because it is our most precious treasure, points us to God, the God who wrote it. And so we are thankful to be here in your presence, worshiping you according to this word that you have so wonderfully preserved for our good pleasure. In your name we pray. Bless our time now in this worship service and the time that remains in it. With love and desire, we pray towards thee. In Jesus' name, amen. My mother-in-law, my wife's mother, used to wear a shirt. I haven't seen it. It was a sweatshirt she wore, and it said on it, "Don't worry, be happy." And we used to kind of laugh a little bit about it, and gently mock her. It was all in love, of course. "Don't worry, be happy." And there's a song about that, and we used to sing it to her. But actually, it's a biblical prescription that we ought to pay attention to in any given day. We have so many reasons to pay attention to it. And it's outlined for us very well in verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's saying a lot, even in a little bit. Obviously, the apostle is writing concerned that there's trouble in this world. There's trouble for each one of us. There's trouble for groups of us. There is many things that happen that challenge us, that test us, that try us, and often get the better of us, or certainly sometimes get the better of us, and cause us anxiety, cause us to worry, cause us to be sometimes overwhelmed. And there are people that live their lives paralyzed by fear. All of us know what fear and anxiety is and how we can be overcome by it. I don't doubt that all of us here at one time or another has been overcome by some trouble, some fear, some anxiety that just overwhelmed the day, maybe even longer. And so this is a counsel and advice for us all in any given day. In a word, don't worry, be happy. He says, be careful for nothing. That's certainly easier said than done. If I tell you, look, you're a Christian, you're not to worry about anything, ever, I think your response would be, ever? I mean, that's a tall order. Ever? Don't worry about anything? That's certainly easier said than done. I think all of us can agree with that. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I actually do know about you. So I know about me. That when I see a word like this, right away I want to qualify it. And basically, I want to say, well, he didn't really mean this the way it sounds. He means it another way, a way that I can do. I become Pharisaical, right? They structured their definition of the law so that they can do it, so they can fulfill it. They didn't have to worry about. You know, we've defined it in such a way that it's possible for me to keep it. And I think we're all prone to that Pharisaical approach to things. Now, let me define or redefine the word in a way that I can relate to it, that I can understand. As if to think that I can't grow up enough to see that what I'm doing is for an immature Christian mind. That once I'm mature, I'm going to redefine it again to suit my purposes and to structure my life accordingly. Well, it doesn't work that way. The Word of God does not compromise with us. We would like it to. I think we're all prone to do that. But I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that the Word of God is God's Word to us. We need to take it for what it says and grow thereby. See what the psalmist said? When I read that psalm before prayer, it said, if you didn't send trouble into my life, I wouldn't have known better your statutes, your ways. If you didn't send trouble into my life, I would have gone the way of the world. You've got my attention. You have my attention by sending things into my life that cause me to be anxious. That caused me to run to you and talk to you. Rather than just make it easy and breezy. Or when these things come into my life, to fall to pieces. Or say the very often familiar sound, woe is me. Now I admit that there still is softness in my life. I don't mean kindness. I mean softness, weak spots, weak points, where if God troubled me in this or that way, it would get the better of me. That's me talking or thinking without the trouble. But when he sends the trouble, he also sends the grace to deal with the trouble. I don't need the grace right now to deal with the trouble that's imagined. But I will need the grace to deal with it when it comes. He says here, be careful for nothing. The Heidelberg Catechism, and I pointed this out to you before when we talked about, I talked about providence, which I'll probably talk about some more later on. Not today, but subsequent Sundays from now. Catechism speaks of drought, barren years, sickness, and poverty. And it points out all of which come not by chance, but by God's fatherly hand. Loss of all his riches, his 10 children, and then his health. Job responded to his grieving wife, what shall ye receive? Shall we receive good things from the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? It's a rhetorical question to confront us with, right? So God is only to give me good things, only to relieve my pain, only to make me comfortable in any given day, and not send terrible things my way. Is that your notion of God? Obviously it isn't if you're in this church. I have never told you that. God's word has never told you that. Jesus himself told you that in this world you're going to have troubles and plenty of them. So for me to imagine that God's goodness consists only of my comfort, is defined by my creature comfort, is certainly shortchanging not only yourself and your own understanding of what it's all about, but shortchanging God and his grace and the operation of that grace in your life. Now, God sends what we would say evil or terrible things into our lives and troubles us. But it's God. We believe in God, a God that's in control of everything. And we're not left to random chance in this place. A number of questions arise when he does that, allows that to happen, and makes that happen. Not only allows it, he brings it. Just like the reprobate. He not only allows them to go their way, he drives them in that way. He drives them to that way and in that way and keeps them in that way. Not only a bare allowance. So get that out of your head. You don't understand the workings of God and the providence of God and how He controls you if you think that way. It's more than just a bare allowance. There is a God in front and behind everything. Good and not so good. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of our Lord. It's easy to say. Not so easy to do, is it? I'm saying it now, while I still can, because I need to remember it. I hope and pray that I would be delightful in the face of death and smile and look heavenward and embrace God when I'm going through it. I'm not afraid. I don't want to be. What else can happen? What worse can happen? The death of a loved one. It's very troubling. Very troubling. What should I do? I should go to thee, right? Oftentimes, though, when the trouble happens, we ask, how long, Lord? How long is this going to take? I can hold up for a little while, but I don't know how long I can hold out. And after a while, fear starts entering in and anxiety. And I can think of nothing else. I can do nothing else but worry. Worry about a catastrophe that is about to take place in my life. It says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. That's what that means. Plain and simple. It means what it says. Now, it's not saying don't care about anything. Right? Obviously, we ought to care about many things. We have responsibilities. We have opportunities. We have concerns. Paul said that to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians that about the church that daily he carried the care of all the churches. So the Lord is saying, is not saying here, don't care about it, be careless or carefree about everything. No. He's saying, be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry about anything. Don't let worry enter into the concern. Yes, of course. Carefulness. Absolutely. Do all you can to meet the matter and deal with it in a way that is right and pleasing to God, but just don't worry. Don't let worry set into your bones. A couple of weeks ago, the lights went out and it was out for 2 days and I stayed on the property in the house, and the temperature went down each day further and further. till it got to like 46 degrees in the house, and that's pretty cold. And what happens is when you're in that cold all that time, it's the cold starts settling into your bones, you know, and you get chilled from within, you know, and it starts getting to you. That's what he's saying here about being, don't allow that. Don't worry about that. Don't let the anxiety turn into a worry, and such a worry that it enters into your soul and it starts taking over. That is what he's saying. And so we need to understand that, of course, God wants us to care about everything, but he doesn't want us to worry about anything. Worry is one of the many ways that Satan gets a foothold, sort of opens a door into our lives and takes control of it. And we can think of nothing else but our worry, our trouble, our heartache. Job dealt with it by talking to the Lord and declaring himself righteous when his friends accused him of doing something wrong, and that's why all these terrible things are happening. Job said, no, I am righteous before God, my God, and I am talking with him right now. Do not allow Satan a foothold by allowing worry to be absorbed into your life and get into your soul and just stay there. Again, easier said than done. And that's why the prescription. But in everything that comes your way, and particularly and especially the troubling things, the terrible things, the disconcerting things, the prescription is in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What we have here, the fact that you say, don't worry about anything. Doesn't mean don't care about anything. Don't worry about it. Don't let that get into your soul. Well, okay, easier said than done, right? Yes. Well, how do we do it? In everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request. So prayer, supplication, and request kind of go together, right? Prayer is a general term. A supplication is praying for the God's gracious benefits to enter into our lives. A request is a supplication that's made particular. Lord, I ask for your grace and your mercy to come upon my life and enter into my life. And I'm requesting, Lord, I'm putting before you my little granddaughter. You know, in this case, it just happened to me. And I'm talking to you about her, about this whole thing. How I should feel, what I should do, where I should be, where I should be in your word, what I should be reading, how I should be thinking, what I should be sharing. You know, all this. Making my request known to God. And he's listening, see? He's listening. And that's what Paul is here prescribing as a prescription for this, because worry is going to enter into your life unless by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving you let your requests be made known. You converse with your God. And sometimes you don't know exactly what to say and how to put it. And you are a bit anxious. Okay? It's okay, but I don't want, whatever it is, Lord, I don't want worry to set into my bones, into my soul. Because that's not going to do me any good. It's not going to do them any good. It's not going to do anyone any good. If I'm incapacitated, Lord, by my trouble. Right? You don't do yourself, you don't do anyone any good becoming incapacitated. Now, some of us do it sometimes because we're weak. But don't define God down because of your weakness. Saying, well, he's not doing this. It's Satan that is in control or doing this. He's not. No, he's right there with you. Talk to him. Let your request be made known. And even say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. And always with thanksgiving. In everything. Really thank him for the pain or the trouble. Well, like I said, like I read before, it's good for me that I have been in trouble. Then I learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I have these difficulties in my life so that I learn how better to pray and how better to understand your word, what you are saying. That I'm not defining it down, be careful for nothing. Well, it doesn't mean what it really says. Yes, it does mean what it really says. Absolutely means what it really says. God wants you to know that he's sending this to you. He's in front and he's behind. Don't worry. Talk to me about it. You're in the valley of tears. Talk to me with your tears. But be thankful. Why? Because I am with you, for one. I'm with you here all the way. Now, you may be thankful while you're crying, but you can be thankful. Thankful for all that I've done for you. I sent my son into this world to give you a whole new world. In this world, a new perspective in this world, and in the world to come, everlasting life and joy and peace and comfort and all that. Be thankful. The only way out of trouble is to out of this world, to get out of this world. So I'm going to guide you through this world because there's a gauntlet that you're going to have to go through, all of you. I thank the Lord every day, brothers and sisters, for the mild providences that he sends my way and to all of us. 60, 70, 80, 90 years, some cases, right? And here you are. Here they are. How you doing, I say, to the 92-year-old or the 95-year-old. How you doing? Okay, I have some aches, some pains, and, you know, there's some trouble. I can't do what I used to do, but I'm okay. Praise the Lord, right? I don't deserve to live 90 years or 70 years or 50 years or whatever. I don't deserve to live a year. I don't deserve it. So I could be thankful, always be thankful to God and Jesus Christ for sending His Son into this world to forgive all my sins. That's what really matters. Not to get rid of all my aches and pains. That matters, yeah, at the time of it, certainly does. Not minimizing it. Not minimizing the suffering of anyone. You know, I don't do that. I weep with you. I pray with you. I'm with you. But what's the more important thing is that my sins are forgiven. Because my sin is what's going to drag me down to the pit of hell. But thanks be to God and Jesus Christ. Always thanks be to God and Jesus Christ. Again and again, rejoice again and again, I say. Because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. He's made it possible for all your sins to be forgiven. For the guilt of them to be washed clean. Your soul to be washed clean. You need to think on the promises of God. You need to think on the grace of God. You need to think on the presence of God in any given situation, in everything. Be careful about it. Don't worry about it. But let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. He's with you. He's present. He wants you to talk to Him. That's the prescription for getting over this, or not getting into it to begin with, not getting into that worry that will set down deep in your soul and have the devil an opportunity to play with you and guide you in the wrong direction. Always in the wrong direction. In everything we ought to pray. The good things, that's easy. And in the not-so-good things, the what we would say are evil things in our lives. Not indicting God, of course, but they're not pleasant. They play with us. They try to take control. Jesus taught us when we begin our prayer, the pattern, for the model prayer, right? The Our Father, right? We begin our prayer always with, Hallowed be thy name. Now, you don't have to say those words, but that's the way we begin. Hallowed be thy name. Wonderful is thy name. Great and marvelous is thy name. Your presence is with me, Lord. It's with me in this whole situation I'm in, this difficulty I'm in, this trouble. Your glorious name is uppermost in my mind and heart. And to bring glory to that name. And ask Him for His blessings. Remind Him of His promises. Speak to Him about the wonderful things He has done already in Christ for me. And the more than words can express the wonderful things He has in store for me. And send blessing my way now, that I may marvel in answers to my prayers. And you know what happens when you learn how to pray this way? When you take Him for what He says, you take the meaning of His word, the message of His word, home with you. You have and you hold it. You marry it. You marry yourself to it. You don't try to dilute it or, you know, qualify it, take away from it. And you apply the prescription, the medicine, the salve that God gives us in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to me, to God, you God. You belong to me. You're my child. then what happens is the peace of God that passes all understanding, and I like to add the word human understanding because that's what we're talking about. I'm talking about human beings who understand this. Animals don't understand this. Aliens, they don't exist. You know, human understanding. Angels don't have this this problem. They don't have the problems, the challenges that we have, at least not the good angels. The bad angels, the devils, the demons, they don't pray, they don't care. The more evil, the better. They don't feel pain, suffering like we do. They cause it. They don't fear it. So the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what will happen. That's how you learn what it means. When God says the peace of God, He's talking about a peace, a calm that enters into your soul. Instead of worry, instead of the anxiety that sort of introduces the worry into your life, and that taking over, instead of that, the peace enters into your soul, you know, into your bones, into your being, your core. And it starts overcoming the situation like you wouldn't believe. In fact, it's beyond, you know, rational understanding. And, you know, what happens to people when they take the Word of God for what it says and they apply the prescription that God, the medicine that God gives? This blessing, this grace happens. It's spiritual, brothers and sisters. It's real, but it's spiritual. It's not just intellectual, though. I mean, you do have to use the intellect to understand what it is he's saying and how to do this. But it's more than that. It's spiritual. It's an attitude. It's an adjustment in our being. And then that grace, like I said, I don't have the grace now to deal with several weaknesses that several soft spots that I sense in me. You know, I examine myself all the time. I have a lot of time to think about this. And I say, Lord, what would take away my courage? What would take away my enthusiasm? What would set me so far back that I can't get up? And I think about it, because I don't want that. Whatever it is that you send into me, my life, Lord, don't allow this or that to get into my, because it'll overwhelm me. But you see, I'm speaking from a human point of view. I'm not listening to what God is saying. Look, you do my way, whatever it is. Don't worry about what's going to happen yet, what hasn't happened yet. But when it does happen, do this. And the peace, my peace will come. My grace will enter into your life that you need at that time. And I will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus your Lord. So this is real stuff, but spiritual. And it has to be embraced from a spiritual point of view. That will in turn change around your psychology and your emotion and everything else. But we're spiritual creatures. First, we're new creatures in Christ. We've been given a new heart, a new mind. This is talking about spiritual things, though, not physical things, not organs. And you need to plug in to that aspect of your existence now. You are new creatures. Plug into that new creatureliness, if you will, your new creaturehood. And take up my word with a new attitude. And this will happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord from whom all blessings flow. And the blessings flow in. The more trouble we have, the more blessings we have.
from God. Yes, we ask him to avert the trouble, to steer it away from my life. But if not, Lord, I trust and I know that you're going to have this trouble benefit me. It's going to be for my good. If you keep it in my life, it's going to be for my good. Tall challenge, brothers and sisters. It's a tall order. And you'll find that out if you try to explain this to someone else that doesn't quite get it yet or doesn't believe. But this is the power, the awesomeness, if you will, of the Word of God. God means what he says. And he means good. Good. Blessing for all of us. Trust him. Trust. Trust Jesus. Trouble tests that trust. Trust him. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is so... It is, as we sang before, like a garden full of wonderful flowers and fragrances. And, it's full of charm and blessing. What a help it is to us. We don't hear enough of it. We don't. There's so many other things we hear. We need to meditate upon this word more and more. No matter how old we get. It's always something more to think about, something to learn, something to treasure. And we treasure your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.